You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You're a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. You can find me right there on the Twitter, don't you know? At Locked On Brewers is the show handle. At Cheesehead Talks, my personal Twitter handle. Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers as well if you want to check us out on the Facebook. And we'll talk about the game yesterday on this podcast, as well as talk with Brad Ford from Brew Crew Ball. Always a good conversation with Brad, who is a virtual expert on the Brewers minor league system and some of the hot prospects for Milwaukee. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of the players that we've seen at the big league level. Keston Hiura, Trent Grisham, kind of topical. And also, Jimmy Nelson, his future. How about Travis Shaw and his future? And we'll talk about all that and a little bit more coming up a little bit later on here in the podcast, and a good conversation with Brad Ford, again, a Brew Crew Ball. So we'll discuss that. The Brewers beat the Twins to split the series 6-5 yesterday. It did not look good for a long, long time until they got a couple of runners on in the eighth, and Trent Grisham hit a three-run home run, his second in the major leagues, and the Brewers get the win after a very dicey top half of inning number nine from Matt Albers, but they find a way to hold on to win, and this is just going to be the way it is. You know, I kept sort of begging for a blowout win, a laugher, an easy win, and then one of those might happen, but they're not going to happen a lot. This team is going to scratch and claw its way to the playoffs if it gets to the playoffs, and it's probably not unlike the teams that they are competing against in the National League. It's just going to be the way it is, but they got it done yesterday, where they failed to a couple of nights ago, obviously, when they got the big home run, the three-run homer, but then gave up a three-run home run. They did not give up the three-run home run yesterday, and it equals a split with the Twins, and they gain a game on the Cubs, who got annihilated by Philadelphia. Boy, those Cubs. Let me tell you about those Cubs. They cannot figure it out on the road, and I should check the schedule to see how many more road games they have left, because they're really good at Wrigley, but really bad on the road. So we'll get to all that, three up, three down, in just a minute as we recap yesterday's game and get you going here with Locked On Brewers on this Thursday edition. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Lyer on Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Do not listen to the same stuff as everyone else, because then you are the same. Get the edge with Vinny. That will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider.
Three up, three down.
So we get into it from the ball game yesterday. Again, the Brewers come from behind 6-5 winners over the Twins. And we start with the ups. And of course, this game has an obvious up, right? Trent Grisham with a three-run home run to essentially win the game. He hit it in the bottom of the eighth, not the bottom of the ninth, so it was not a walk-off, but it provided the difference in the game and a great at-bat. And also, Trent Grisham has had a few really good at-bats in this series, right? His final at-bat, when he made the final out of the game on Wednesday, or no, I'm sorry, on Tuesday night. Get my days mixed up here. But on Tuesday night, in the first of the two-game series, was it, if I remember right, it was a very lengthy at-bat. Did it get to double digits? I can't remember, but it was lengthy. He battled. He fouled off a lot of pitches. He finally made an out, but he's really up there battling, and man, you'll love to see it. It's you can get excited, right, about Grisham and about Keston Hiura and about some of the future young talent on this team, and paired with Christian Yelich and whoever else is going to be on the club next year and in the years to come. There's a core there, and it's pretty exciting for the foreseeable future for the Brewers. Grisham with two hits last night, or yesterday, I beg your pardon, 2-for-4, and of course, the three-run home run. And he was good, and he provides a spark in that leadoff spot for the Brewers. And He's a leadoff guy, right? Maybe not against lefties because he is a lefty and he's a rookie and maybe Council doesn't want to do that, but he deserves a shot and he certainly is a leadoff man, you know, going forward unless Lorenzo Cain can figure it out. And Cain has not been able to, and Cain said as much after the game yesterday reading some quotes. They're on Twitter if you want to read them. But he talked about how he's very disappointed in himself, and he's frustrated. He's not getting the job done. He claims he feels good, although I'm not sure I'm buying that. I think Lorenzo Cain has been hurt all year. And he's saying that Trent Grisham's earned the opportunity. And Lorenzo Cain, hard not to love Lorenzo Cain, right? I mean, I know he's disappointing this year, but, man, that guy is just the consummate pro, hustles, plays hard, plays with dignity. I mean, you know, you just love to watch the guy play. I know it's hard this year at the plate, but not in the field. And to stand up and, you know, kind of say that after the game yesterday, I think says a lot about Lorenzo Cain. I really like Lorenzo Cain, and I certainly hope he can get it going. It'd be great if he could get it going. That would be more than fantastic for this Brewers team. But in the meantime, they've found at least a part of an answer here, a spark with Trent Grisham. Second up, the bullpen. Short start by Gio Gonzalez. And then the bullpen shut down the Twins the rest of the way. Took over in the fourth. Gio only went to, what, 3 2/3 or 3 1/3, whatever it was, in the bullpen. Held them scoreless. Not that there weren't dicey situations, but they held them scoreless the rest of the way, so they get an up. And then getting on base, the Brewers got a bunch of players on base. They banged out 11 hits. They left 10 on base, but they had a lot of walks, and they were able to put pressure on the Twins all day long. Scratched out a run in the first, the third, the fifth, and then finally broke through with a crooked number in the eighth on the three-run home run. So got to give them credit for that, and at least they were getting men on base. The downs, the short start by Gio Gonzalez. Now, it's not terrible because they have an off day today, so a chance for the bullpen to rest. But Gio Gonzalez, interesting tweet yesterday by Adam McKelvey, who writes for the Brewers on MLB.com. And Gio Gonzalez's two worst starts by far with the Brewers are against the Twins. I think they're the only two starts he's allowed more than three earned runs for the Brewers in the last couple of years. He allowed 5 earned yesterday, walked 4, only struck out 5, threw 83 pitches in just 3 2/3. So not great, but then again, like we said, the bullpen comes in and really gets it done for the Brewers. And that, you know, is hit and miss bullpen. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but they were able to do it yesterday against a Twins team that really bangs out a lot of home runs and is a good offensive team, as we saw at Miller Park there. The second down, Lorenzo Cain. Again, I talked about how much I like him, and I do, and I think most Brewer fans do, because you can see how he plays the game and got a lot of respect for it. And he did have a hit yesterday, but he's really struggling, right? Bases loaded. He grounds into a double play in the first. Very frustrating. He's frustrated. Fans are frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. And he's unfortunately, you know, kind of a hole in the lineup right now. He was struggling in the leadoff spot, so they dropped him down. But it's still no good. He was 0-for-5 in the first game of the series, and you just hope he can snap out of it somehow, or maybe the Brewers need to look into giving him some time off. I don't know what the solution is, but it's been a season-long thing, and Lorenzo Cain is not the same player he was last year, and it's a huge reason that the Brewers are struggling on offense. It's a huge reason the Brewers have not been what we expected them to be offensively. And so it's, I don't know. And you look, he has 3 more years left on this deal, right? So he's going to be with the club for a while, and you hope this is not a long-term thing, obviously. Third down, surrendering the long ball. Twins, again, banging out a bunch of home runs. Now, you're surrendering a bunch of home runs to a team that is going to break the Major League record, probably smash the Major League record for home runs in a season. So that's something to consider. But, yeah, Twins hit a lot of home runs again yesterday. I'm looking at the box score now. Let me tally them up here. 3. 3 home runs yesterday. And, you know, it's what they do, and I get it. 3 solo home runs allowed by Gio Gonzalez. That was what it was, and now that jogs my memory, having watched the game, of course. But, yeah, a lot of home runs the night before. It's what they do, but frustrating to see the Brewer pitching staff give them up, and that's what happened, and put the Twins in position to win for sure if it wasn't for Trent Grisham. So that's 3 up, 3 down on the game. But again, what do you take away from it? Well, again, Trent Grisham, you know, what is the story with him? What's the future? We'll ask Brad Ford about it coming up here from Brew Crew Ball. We'll get his impression about what the Brewers' plan for Grisham is. He's in the outfield. So what's the plan the rest of this year? What's the plan next year? This guy's not going anywhere. Doesn't seem like it. You know, he changed his grip famously now, I think. If you're following the Brewers, you know the story. He came in with this kind of odd golf grip. They tried to change it. The organization did. He just was a disappointment after being a first-round pick, and he comes into this year and says, screw it. I'm going back to the golf grip. I'm going to start being more aggressive at the plate, and here we are. He goes and smashes through double A, smashes through triple A, and now he's doing pretty good in the major leagues too. So it's a good story. His average at 314, and it's really interesting to see how a little adjustment sometimes. You know, you talk about Christian Yelich last year, bringing his feet closer together in his stance around the All-Star break, and he started launching home runs left and right. I mean, baseball. You know, every day I say it, you shake your head and you go, man, baseball, it's crazy. But that's the story with Trent Grisham. And so you have a spark here. Hero with a couple of hits yesterday. Grisham, this young blood, whether the Brewers ride it into the playoffs or not, is going to give you a lot of hope in the offseason and heading into next year. A lot of excitement around this team with some of these young players combined with the guys they have locked up, you know, namely Christian Yelich for three more years. It's an exciting thing to envision what this offense can be like. So, you know, that's really, as I look at this game, what the takeaway is, and the Brewers' ability to get up off the deck and come from behind in two straight games, even though they ended up blowing the opener. But, you know, they were in position to win both games, and they won the second one. So, again, there's always signs of hope with the Brewers, right? There's signs of hope, and there's signs of great disappointment, and the roller coaster continues. And we'll talk tomorrow about the big, huge, humongous, ginormous six-game road trip coming up against two teams they're competing, you know, against for playoff spots. So that's coming up now, starting this weekend. We'll talk about that more on tomorrow's Lockdown Brewers with the off day today. So Brad Ford from Brew Crew Ball, we'll talk with him next. And looking forward to that, about not only Grisham and Hira, but also some of the Brewers that have disappointed this year and what's the future for them. So that's on the way next. Your Lockdown Brewers. Support for today's show comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt men's grooming. You may have seen Manscaped on Shark Tank, and Men's Journal named their Lawnmower 2.0 as one of the best tools in men's grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That is LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Make sure you listen to the new Locked On NFL with expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Check out your favorite podcast provider for Locked On NFL. He is Brad Ford, writes for Brew Crew Ball at brewcrewball.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Brew Crew Blue. And he's someone who really looks at the minor leagues for the Brewers, as well as the major league team, but certainly has tracked a lot of the current Brewers that you see these days through the minor leagues. So, Brad, thanks for joining the program. I wanted to start by just asking you about the hot players that you've been following here for a few years. The hero of Wednesday's game, Trent Grisham, who hit the three-run home run and has had really a great time of it in his debut for the Brewers, and also the season-long story of Keston Hira. Do you think the hype is justified for both these guys? Do you think that these two could really be a multi-year, you know, mainstay spark for this Brewers offense?
Absolutely. I mean, Keston Hira, I think, is an easy yes. Ever since college, you know, his bat has been advertised as major league ready, obviously with a little adjustment period needed in the minors. But he has just been so phenomenal since stepping onto the field for the Brewers. He has such a great hand-eye coordination with a, you know, somewhat odd but still very successful and fun to watch swing that gives him a lot of success. He does things in a little bit out of the way, in that he, you know, a lot of times you see those premier hitters be able to walk a lot and keep the strikeouts lower. The thing with Hira is he'll get strikeout heavy when he is really in a slump. We just saw him go through a short slump where he struck out a lot, struggled a little bit at the plate, but then he comes right back out of those just as strong as ever, doesn't strike out, hits a lot. And that's just kind of his MO. 300 hitters who I think he is. He's a, you know, has a good amount of power in the bat, and everything that you want to see in a major league guy. Grisham, a little bit more of a surprise, but what the story is, what seemed to have worked for him is him going back to the golf trip. He came out of high school, and they said, you know, the big thing advertised about him was how he used the golf grip, because before he felt like he couldn't really hold the bat as well as he wanted to. The org made him go away from it because it was so non-traditional. And then he goes back to it around the end of last year, and he starts hitting again. It's been going on for way too long to be at way too many levels and way too difficult of a level for it to be a fluke. And I think we're finally seeing everything he was advertised to be. It all just kind of clicked. And I think a part of that was him, the mental gain you get from him going back to his, the mental gain he gets from going back to his old swing. You know, just that comfort level. So I think these guys are legit, and I think they can help the org for a lot of years down the road.
Yeah. And specifically with Grisham, I mean, what you have, an interesting storyline developing then, not only for the remainder of this year, and you know, currently with Lorenzo Cain's struggles, and Cain basically said so as much, I should say, yesterday, because he's frustrated at the plate right now. But he said that, you know, Grisham's earning the playing time and he's sparking the offense from the leadoff position. But, you know, obviously Cain under contract for three more years here for the Brewers. How do you see all of that playing out, you know, with a crowded outfield here? And obviously a lot of talk about what to do with Ryan Braun as well, who's been very respectable, if not very good this year for the Brewers. Well, how do you see it playing out over the next year or offseason with the Brewers and Trent Grisham and that outfield?
I think the easy solution for now is go back to the plan that they had last year, that was to split time between the outfield and first base and get everyone regular at bats when they were trying to get Domingo Santana, all that work. Just keep a solid rotation going. You have a lot of guys out there who play a lot of positions. By trading Aguilar at the trade deadline, you now have a spot for Ryan Braun to play when you need a righty in the lineup, or when Eric Thames maybe doesn't match up with the hitter as well. It's a good excuse to play him at first and then get all three outfielders in. But I do agree with Cain. I think Cain stands to lose some playing time. I think Cain is a good player, and I think losing playing time can only actually benefit him, because everything we've heard going on so far is he's been playing almost the entire season injured, which is very bad. So hopefully there's something that can actually be worked out in playing time that benefits everyone, benefits Cain, and that it will give him time to get healthy. You know, Ryan Braun probably gets the harder end of it, asking him to move from infield to outfield to infield to outfield, but he's a guy who gets easily banged up now at his age too. So a little extra day off here and there isn't going to hurt him in any way, shape, or form.
No, that's very true. And he's had that extra day off, you know, for a couple of years now, and it seems certainly to help him. Talking with Brad Ford from Brew Crew Ball. You can check out his work at brewcrewball.com. I wanted to talk, Brad, about a couple of players maybe we haven't been talking about in a while. Jimmy Nelson was moved to the 60-day DL. By the way I'm reading things, he actually would be eligible to come off of that in September if the Brewers so chose and wanted to make a move, but I don't know. I mean, this obviously, you root for the guy like crazy because you know his story and you know how much he's battled back, but kind of a, I don't know, lost season or maybe a learning experience for him where he has to kind of become a new pitcher here and work on it for several months going into another shot next year. What do you see in the future for Jimmy Nelson?
I definitely think this year's more or less a wash for Nelson. You know, he's already refused his AAA assignment by all accounts. So it looks like they're not going to be able to keep him in the minors for very long. I think that the most troubling thing from him is the amount of walks. Not that he was ever an exceptional control player, but he's definitely allowing a lot more base runners via the ball this season than he has in his career. I think a lot of that has to do with the way he throws now after the injury has changed the shape of a lot of his pitches. His you know, there's a slight angle to his curveball that wasn't there before. His fastball's moving. It's lost a little bit of velocity and moving a little bit more to the outside than it used to. So you're seeing a pitcher kind of have to relearn his own body after spending how many years of his career getting used to the one he had and then finally mastering it before a labrum injury, which is one of the toughest injuries a pitcher can go under now, probably tougher than Tommy John surgery. So I think this is a lost year. I actually kind of see him getting – I think – him being a possible non-tender candidate in the offseason is very realistic. But I think he's someone who could really benefit from getting a team that maybe needs a veteran pitcher and can stand to let him work on his stuff. Whereas the Brewers currently being competitive the way they are, I'm not sure they can stand to bear that burden anymore, especially with the struggles of the rest of the pitchers. He's not a guy you can just work in, let allow a few runs and continue with your day because everything's going so well. No, these games have been back and forth. Even when you have a 3-run lead, it could change in a swing. And that's just not the type of, when Jimmy Nelson is out there giving up 2, 4, 6 earned runs in a game, that's not the type of presence you need on the mound right now. So it's sad. I want him to succeed. Fans want him to succeed. He has put together 3 scoreless appearances for San Antonio, but still, I mean, we saw Travis Shaw get how good at AAA before, you know, coming up and not being able to do anything with it. And I think just with the team being competitive and needing every advantage you can get at this point, it's really hard to justify putting him on the major league roster.
Yeah, talking with Brad Ford here from Brew Crew Ball, you spoke of Travis Shaw. Is there concern, Brad, for the future here? Is this turning into a long-term concern for the organization?
I don't want to be. I think his history is exactly who he is, and I think this year's the anomaly. But you're dealing with what I think is a very hard mental struggle for Travis Shaw. You can see when he gets up to the majors that he's pushing. He wants to find that success. He wants to get out of it. He wants to fight his way out of it. And then when he's at AAA and he gets comfortable, he swings the ball well and he hits a ton of homers and, you know, albeit a juiced ball league and an easy to hit in league. But he found a lot of offensive success down at AAA. And, I mean, I know we all like to say it's AAA, the minors don't matter, it's not the same level, but there's major league quality pitching in AAA, and he was hitting every pitcher he faced. So I don't know if he can get over the mental hurdle, and if he does, I think he'll be next year, but this is a guy that the Brewers are relying on to hold the third base position down through next year. You know, he's not a free agent for another full season, and he was definitely part of the long-term plans when the Brewers acquired him and he ended up playing so well. It's pretty disheartening to see him struggle so mightily. Like I said, it really appears to be all mental. He just seems to be pushing and trying to fight for things that aren't there. And when you try to make things happen against major league pitchers, that leads to you making mistakes and not taking advantage of their mistakes. It ends up being a bad thing for the player and the team.
Yeah, it certainly does. Another guy who has struggled, I'll get you out of here on this, got about a minute left or so here, Brad, but Corbin Burnes just continues to struggle down at the minors as well. And man, what a you talk about something you didn't see coming, right? With this guy, you expected him to take a step forward this year, and he seems to have taken 3 steps backwards. It's really, again, disheartening to see him struggle. And again, a high-level prospect in this organization. What do you think the club does about him here?
It's with Burnes, it's much easier than the other two to continue working on. You have so much control of him, so many options with passing him back and through the minors. It's hard to see him go back down to velocity, but they have to get him at an area, even if it's all the way back to Wisconsin, where Corbin Burnes can just be successful just for his own peace of mind. I think that's more or less what the move to Biloxi is about, that, and he does need to work on his slider, and you can get away with a little bit more against Double-A hitters than you can Triple-A hitters, especially because Biloxi is a friendlier hitting park. So he just needs to go work on his pitches. I still think there's a bright future for him, but yeah, this is, you expect him to be side by side with Brandon Woodruff on this team, and now he's at Double-A, and really not a great thing to see, but I still believe he can be a contributor down the road for this team, just not in 2019.
Yeah, we'll see how that develops, and obviously the organization is really counting on him to do that and rebound, and like you said, still got some time left. Brad, appreciate it. Always great perspective that you bring to the podcast. We'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
And you can find Brad Ford at Brew Crew Blue on Twitter, at Brew Crew Blue, or go to brewcrewball.com to check out his writings. Always fun to have Brad on the show. So the Brewers off today. They head to Washington to take on the Nationals starting tomorrow, or I should say, tomorrow and through the weekend, and then at St. Louis. The Cardinals, as of today, are in first place Now they're a virtual tie with the Cubs, but they're 1 percentage point ahead. 534 winning percentage versus a 533 winning percentage for the Cubs. Cardinals have played two less games. They're 63-55. The Cubs, 64-56, and they cannot win on the road. I mean, it's really something. Cubs are 10 games under 500 on the road, 41-19 at Wrigley. Isn't that funny how sometimes the sort of the story develops through the season? The Brewers are bad on the road, too, 27-32. Doesn't bode well for this road trip. They're 10 games over 500 at Miller Park this year at 36-26, just as a point of reference. So, Crew, 1.5 games behind the front-running Cardinals now, who have 55 losses. Crew with 58, always important to keep track of that loss column. And the Cubs with 56 losses, tight in the Central, and should go right down to the wire, you would think. Maybe with all three, but probably at least two of these teams. And can the Brewers, how long have I been saying this now? For a few months, can they find a way to get hot and not ride the roller coaster, get hot for a while? That might catapult them into first place. But it's certainly been a struggle this year to do that. On the wild card side of things, as you look at it, Washington still again a game up on the Cubs now and a game and a half up on the Brewers. So, again, that's where this series is so crucial. Philadelphia two games back of that wild card spot, and the Mets are three games back, the Diamondbacks 3.5, Giants 4.5, and then it starts to space out with the Reds being 7.5 back. So those teams are all in it in the National League, and it's just a crowded field. But the Brewers are the team that's right on the cusp. They're just below the cut line of both the division and the wild card, and so that's where we sit here in the smack dab middle of August today. So that, again, the standings update. we'll certainly keep track of that. And there is not a ton of a long way to go, but there's still a very long way to go. And so much can and probably will change down the stretch here, but it is the stretch, and that's what makes it fun. So, day off today, we'll talk and preview about the Nationals tomorrow. Also, get your questions in on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks or at Lockdown Brewers. We'll do a mailbag section on the show tomorrow. So, looking forward to that. Always enjoy the mailbag section. I'll take your questions. I will put this out on our Twitter handles as well for you to send questions, but send them on Twitter, and we'll answer them on the show tomorrow. Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers as well. Please, as always, go where you can and rate and review the podcast. And always, as I say, tell a friend, a family member, an estranged spouse. I don't know why I picked that one. But tell somebody. Make signs, bumper stickers, mailings, whatever you want to do. Tell people about Lockdown Brewers. It's your only daily Brewers fix on all major podcast platforms. So go tell people about it, and let's continue to grow. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Lockdown Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. I will talk to you tomorrow when we deliver your daily Brewers fix right here on Lockdown Brewers, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network.